If you would, go back with me to the book of Genesis now, and we'll go to Genesis chapter 45. I had thought that I would go on into chapter 46 tonight, but I was asked if I would address a particular topic. And since she acts so nicely, I then started studying this message on the subject, It Is Enough. My wife, when she studied this, read this passage, said, I wish if the Lord would lead you, if you'd preach on that statement in verse 28 of Genesis 45. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So my subject is, it is enough. Now you will remember that the sons of Jacob have returned. Joseph has sent them back to their dad. And Jacob is an old man. Jacob is 130 years old. And he speaks as one who thinks that he's soon to die, though he will in fact live another 17 years or so. But the sons told him, Joseph is alive. And that so startled Jacob, it so overwhelmed him that he fainted. He just passed out. And then when he was revived, the scripture says in verse 27, this is after he revived, and they told him all the words of Joseph. Well, what was it that Joseph had told them? What was the message? Joseph said, convey these words to my father. Well, it's actually several things. Number one, if you look back in verse 9 of chapter 45, Joseph said, haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Here's the first thing. Now remember, they're giving the words of Joseph now to their dad. And here's the first thing that Joseph said, go back and you tell my father this. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. That's our message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made him Lord. He received his lordship as the God-man because of his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross of Calvary. He was already Lord before he ever came to this world, has always been the Lord. Because he's God over all, blessed forever. He was God. He's the Lord. He made all things. He created all things. He sustains all things. He rules everything. But as we read there in Luke chapter 2, he became incarnate. And then at 8 days old, he received his name officially, which Gabriel had said to Mary and to Joseph. Call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this one did indeed save his people from their sins. He didn't make an attempt at it. This isn't something in the future that's going to happen. He saved his people by his redemptive work upon the cross of Calvary when he satisfied all the demands of law and justice for his people. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And here Joseph is a beautiful picture of our Savior. And Joseph says now to his brethren, you go to my father. And you tell my father, I've been made Lord. And our message to everybody is not make Jesus your Lord. Our message to everybody is not, let Him be your Lord. Our message to everybody is Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, buried, and rose again, has been exalted, and He is Lord over all. And you'll bow to Him either before your death or after your death at the judgment. Every knee's going to bow to King Jesus. He's the Lord. That's the first thing Joseph said. Now you tell my father these words. And as it says here in verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph. And that's the first thing Joseph said. Now you tell my father this. I've been made Lord. And then secondly, look back up in verse 9. Right after that, he says, and you tell my father, you come down unto me, tarry not. You come to me right now. And they went and told Jacob, this is what the Lord said. Come to me. And I tell you, this is not, our Savior is not begging you. This is not an invitation. This is the Lord of glory, and He commands you, you come to Him. You believe Him. This is God's commandment, that we believe on Him whom God hath sent. And then thirdly, He says, tell my father this. Look at verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. Tell him, He's coming to me, and I'll never leave him, and I'll never forsake him. And that's what the Lord says to us. I won't leave my people. I draw you to me with effectual grace. This is calling with a holy calling. We come to Him. He says, thou shalt be near unto me. And Jacob was indeed drawn by the love and grace of his son Joseph, and they were together from then to the day that Jacob died. And the Lord says to us, I'll always be with you. Always be with you. And then fourthly, He says in the next verse, verse 11, I will nourish thee. Oh, what sweet words are those. I will nourish thee. I'm not just going to bring you into myself and then desert you and leave you on your own. I'm going to take care of you. And all of the people of God, all of the children of the Lord, we're cared for by our great shepherd. He nourishes us. He feeds us. He takes care of us. And then He says in verse 5, or verse 13, here's the fifth thing. You relay these words now to my father Jacob. Tell him of all my glory. And boy, I tell you, that's our responsibility. That's the preacher's joyful duty, to speak of the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the words of Joseph that he sent by way of his brothers to Jacob. They weren't words to lay blame at the feet of these his brothers. In fact, he says nothing negative about them. His words were of His great advancement Himself and of His own glories. And what He would do for Jacob and for what He would do for His people. Have you ever noticed this? Certainly the Lord convicts us of our sinfulness, but He comes to us with sweet words. And it's like Joseph. He freely forgot and forgave all the wrongs that his brethren did against him. He doesn't bring them up. He doesn't say to his brethren, now you go back to my father and you tell him all the deeds that you did against me. You go ahead and make known to him how you sold me into slavery, how some of you wanted to kill me. No, he didn't mention any of those things. The Lord comes to us in His sweet mercies and in His grace. And He reveals to us that we're the beloved of the Lord and that He will always take care of us. You know, Joseph recognized this. Go back in the chapter 45. You notice what he says to these brethren. Look at verse 5. He says, "Now therefore be not grieved, yet you sold me into slavery, but don't be grieved about that. Don't be angry with yourself. Don't be beating yourself up that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity, a remnant, and to save your lives by great deliverance." The Lord sent him. The Lord used him in a delivering way, in a salvation way. For them, it was a temporal salvation. For us, the Lord saves us with an everlasting salvation. And I thought about this as I was working on this message today. Would to God that we would remember that all of the things that happens to us and all of the things that happens in this country and all of the things that happen in this world, they happen according to the purpose of God, brought to pass by the providence of God. See, this is what Joseph is saying. He's saying everything that happened, it happened for your good. And it happened for my good, even though when those things happened, we couldn't see it. We couldn't see it. It should be a constant encouragement to the people of God that the Lord does all things well, and He makes even evil, evil, and the wrath of men to work to praise His name. There's a wonderful verse, and I'm sure you've read it a number of times, in Psalm 76 and verse 10. Psalm 76 and verse 10. And it says this. It says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise Thee. The remainder of wrath shalt Thou restrain." And we know there's an illustration of that in the life of Joseph, because some of his brethren, they did want to kill him. And so let's kill him. When he came to check on them and they saw him from afar off, some of them said, "That's our brother. He said we're going to bow down to him." Or he said, "Let's get together and we'll kill him." And it seemed like all of them were in agreement, except for Reuben. And he said, "Let's don't do that." You see, it wasn't even possible that Joseph would die then. It wasn't his appointed time to die. He would die many years later, but he has a great work to do. He's going to be the Savior of his nation. And though there was much evil brought about that was working, it seemed, against him, in reality, God used the evil to work together for the good, not only of Joseph, but of his brethren. And only God can do that. Only God can bring good out of evil. You see, the Lord, like it says here in Psalm 76:10, Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain or prevent. The Lord prevented them from killing Joseph. Don't ever think that evil has a free hand to do whatever it wants to do. That's not right. Our God governs all things, good and evil. In fact, the Scripture says, shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? He creates both light and darkness, good and evil. And He uses evil to accomplish His purpose. And the greatest example of that is the evil in the hearts of men who wound up having our Lord Jesus crucified. But they were all exposing and giving vent to their wrath, doing what they wanted to do, and all the while they were fulfilling the purpose of God. For He determined that Christ would die for our sins according to the Scriptures. I know the issue of the existence of evil and the way of evil. It's been an issue highly debated by man. And I'll just give you a couple of thoughts on this. Is evil contrary to the holiness of God? Of course it is. Does evil exist without the will of God? Of course it does not. It does not. You see, the perfections of God, His grace, His mercy, His justice in punishing sin through a Savior, these things would never have been manifested had it not been for the existence of evil. We would never have known the sweetness of forgiveness and how blessed it was that God sent His Son to die for sinners had not God in His purpose of grace ordained the existence of evil. We don't explain it away. God uses men in doing what they want to do in order to fulfill His purpose. And if there's something that men would want to do beyond what God's purpose is, that's what He restrains. It's just like He restrained Joseph's brothers. Let's kill him. God said, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Go ahead and sell him into slavery. He'll go into Egypt. He'll go into Potiphar's house. He'll be falsely accused. He'll wind up in prison. All the things are going to happen. It would seem that his delay in getting out of prison for 2 years, it seems like that's a step backwards. No, there are no steps backward. All things are of God. And everything moves and exists precisely according to the will of God. And if we could but remember that, oh, what peace we would have. It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good in His sight. You cannot look at the condition of our country right now with the evil that exists. You can't look at it and be in any way happy with it. I mean, we would say, Nancy and I were talking about the other day, said if our parents, and especially our grandparents, if they could see what's going on today, well, they'd roll over in their graves. Well, there's no doubt of the reality of evil, but more than that, there's no doubt that God will use evil to fulfill His purpose. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's purpose is for our nation. It seems to me we're kind of exploding from, I guess you'd call it an implosion from the inside, corruption from the inside. But whatever God is doing, it's good. It's right. We bow to Him. You just go ahead, go home tonight and sleep easy. God's at the wheel. He's governing all things. You say, well, this is happening. Look at this law and that law. You'd just drive yourself nuts worrying about all these things. No need to worry. I'm not saying be unconcerned. I'm saying rest in the Lord your God who governs all things. Your great Joseph. He's Lord of Egypt. Egypt stands for the world. Our Savior is the Lord of the world. Things are moving along just fine. Just fine. All according to His will. Well, Jacob, when he hears the words of Joseph, he just loses consciousness. And then he revived. And then they said, now look at verse 27. They told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. He saw the evidences that Joseph was alive. Look at all those wagons. Dad, you see all those wagons? See how they're loaded down? You know who sent those? Joseph sent them. And his heart revived. Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. You know, we know the evidences of the everlasting love of Christ for His brethren. Wagons loaded with all spiritual blessings given to us in Christ Jesus. Not blessings to reward us for a lifetime of service or obedience. Blessings ordained for us from before the foundation of the world, before we've done anything either good or evil. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Children of God, do you see the wagons that our Lord has sent? Filled with good things for you. There are no bad things in the wagons. No bad things in the wagons. I remember Brother Scott Richardson, he said so many good things that are worthwhile and worth remembering. But he said, I hadn't heard any bad news ever since I heard the good news. There is no bad news. No bad news. Some time back, went to the dentist and told me I had going to have some oral surgery. And he put it this way, I got some bad news for you. I said, what's that? And he told me, I said, oh, that's not bad news. There is no bad news. Disappointing news. But really, there's no bad news. Because the wagons of our Lord are loaded. But notice what Israel says in verse 28. And it's no longer, he's no longer called Jacob, but Israel. This is the spiritual name. This is the name of a prince with God. He said, it is enough. And the words, it is, they're italicized. He said, enough. Well, Jacob, what is enough? Joseph, my son, is alive. That's everything to me. He said, the wagons, that's nice. All the goodies that he has sent, that's wonderful. But I'll tell you what means the world to me. And the word enough means so much or multitude, plenteous. He said, here's what's everything to me, my son. Joseph is everything to me. The wagons, thank you. But I'm not taken up with the wagons and all the stuff in the wagons. It's Joseph who has my heart. It's Joseph I want to see. And you see, for all of us who are the people of God, we're thankful for the wagons of blessings. There's no question about that. Sometimes we sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But I'll tell you what's more important than the blessings, the blessor. He's all important. He's everything. This is what Jacob is saying. Enough. I have enough. Because I had Joseph. And I'm telling you who are the people of God. You have enough. You have Christ. You have Christ. The great amount of things that were sent to him, that's wonderful. But here's the joy of Jacob's heart. Joseph, to see him, to be with him, to enjoy his presence. That thought, it far outweighed all the things in the wagons. My friends, we belong to Christ Jesus. And someday we're going to see him face to face. I would never take anything away from the loaded wagons. Election and predestination and redemption and regeneration and calling and justification and sanctification and glorification. All those things are sweet and wonderful. But there's somebody that we're caught up with. There's somebody who means everything to us. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, he's enough. And let me ask you, is Christ enough for you? You know, there are some people, they hear preaching like I preach, and preachers that you know and respect, like they preach, like Brother Henry preached, like Brother Bill preached. They hear preaching of Christ, and at some point they'll say, don't you have anything else to preach? Had a couple came to hear me a long time ago. They tried me out. I said, we're going to try you for a while. And they said, it's just too much gospel preaching. You need to deal with some other things. Too much Christ. I was talking about Scott Richardson a little bit ago. He told me one time, somebody said this about him. Said, that Scott Richardson, he's made an idol out of Jesus Christ. That's what they said about him. And he said, oh, blessed idolatry. Oh, we adore him. We sang Sunday night, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. He's all I need. He's all you need. He's all you need in this life. He's all you need at the judgment. He's all you need in eternity. And he's all you need in the hour of death. Enough! Enough! I have Christ. And I have all of this beside. I got the wagons loaded. But more than that, I've got him who is the very glory of God. Him who is the darling of the Father's heart. Enough! I have enough, Father. Because I have Christ. I have Christ. Is Christ enough for you? You know what Jacob said? Chapter 46. Go over to verse 30. And notice here again, it isn't Jacob said, but Israel. Israel. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. That sounds a whole lot like what Simeon said, doesn't it? Over there in Luke chapter 2. Lord, let me die. I'm ready to die now. Mine eyes have seen, not a baby, though he was a baby. But he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh my. Have your eyes of faith seen his salvation? Christ Jesus the Lord. See, what does a man gain if he has the whole world? Doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the poorest of the poor. You name any of these billionaires. Lots and lots of money. Extremely wealth beyond our comprehension. But you know what? They're the poorest of the poor. No Redeemer. No Savior. No representative at the right hand of God. They have no idea how poor off they are. How bad off they are. Is Christ enough for you? Is he enough for you in the preaching of the Word of God? Is he enough in the assembly of the saints? Well, I'll tell you this. He will be enough in the very eternity of heaven. Because he'll be all. Why do we preach our Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we honor him? Because, number one, we're honoring the divine command. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. There's no worship of God apart from the Son of God. You don't make much of Christ Jesus. You may have a religious service. You can have that. But you don't have a worship service. Churches say, well, worship service, they put it on the sign. Worship service, you know, 11 o'clock, 10:30, whatever it is on Sunday morning. And then they don't honor Christ Jesus. No, they just had a religious service. No worship. No worship. We honor him because of divine command. Number two, we honor him because of apostolic example. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified. I don't care what the passage is. Here, preachers better get to Christ as quick as they can. Quick as they can. And I'll tell you this. We honor him because there's no salvation in anybody else. That's what Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I'll tell you, we must honor him. I must honor him because I love him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. There's no question about that. But I'll tell you, I've seen the greater than Joseph by faith. And one of these days I'm going to die, and then I'm going to see him face to face. That's what the Scripture says in Hebrews 2. But we see Jesus. How do we see him? By faith. We see him in the Word of God. We see him in the types and pictures and prophecies and promises of God. And one of these days, we're going to see him face to face. John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Jacob said, "It's enough. I'm going to see Joseph." As if to say, "I appreciate the wagons. I don't need them. What are the wagons compared to the Son?" Job said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh," what did he say? "I shall see God." That's what he said, wasn't it, Ron? "I shall see God." Whew. Don't that kind of send chills up and down your spine? I'm going to see him. And I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm not going to be ashamed. I'll have boldness in that day. Don't you worry about the fact, Jim, that he's going to bring up all your sins against him? No, don't worry about that, because the Lord said your sins and iniquities, I'll remember them no more. He's just going to have good things to say. Precious things to say. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Ain't nobody ashamed in the presence of Christ. Everybody's rejoicing in him. "Blessed are the pure in heart." That's who's going to see God. We're going to see him. Enough! "I'm going to see Joseph." That's what he said. And our Lord Jesus said, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." The glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I tell you, Jacob, he's going to be carried all the way to Egypt, and he's going to see his son in his glory. In his glory. He's heard about the glory of Joseph. The brothers had talked about the glory of Joseph. He said, "It's enough, because I'm going to see that glory myself." And that's the way it is with the people of God. We've heard of his glory. We've preached of his glory. We've talked about his glory. And one of these days, we're going to leave this old world, and we're going to see him in his glory. And that glorious Savior is going to embrace us and kiss us. Say, "Welcome home. Welcome home." And we'll say, "Thank you for the wagons. But thank you most of all for you." And we'll praise him and bless him forever. Isn't that the sweetest story you ever heard? It surely is. It's enough. It's enough. Joseph is yet alive. It's enough. Christ is ever alive. He's going to take care of us. Don't you worry about a thing. He sits up all night watching over us. Ain't no use in you losing any sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over his Israel.